For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is January the 14th. We are in Parshas Emor, page 682, Pasuk Tes, verse 9. We just finished doing Shabbos and Pesach. We move on with the Yamim Tovim. Vayidaber Hashem. If it's right. Yeah, just like that. Boom.
Perfect. I mean, it's Shmos.
I'm exhausted.
Like 9 weeks to Pesach.
Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar. Speak to the Jews and say to them, when you shall come to the land, that I am giving to you, and you will harvest its harvest. They say you'll reap its harvest. Okay. You will bring an omer, the first of your harvest, to the Kohen. This is the carbon ha-omer, which we'll describe in a moment, but you should bring it to the Kohen. He will wave the Omer in front of Hashem for your to help you, to gain favor for you. The day after the Shabbos, the Kohen will wave it. Wave is a misleading term, because when in English when we say wave, we think about how you wave, right? But that's not what waving here means. Waving means what you do with a lulav and an esrog. That's what waving means. Which means you move it in all directions. That's waving. Waving is all four directions and up and down. That is waving. That's what it means when it says that you wave it. That's what tenufa is. Vasisem biyom hanifchem esomer. So all it says is that the Kohen will wave the carbon haomer. Vasisem biyom hanifchem esomer. You will do, you will make on the day that you wave the omer. Keves tamim ben shnaso. A sheep, unblemished sheep, which is a year old, le'ola, as a carbon ola, burnt offering, la'Hashem. Umin chaso, and its meal offering that comes with it, as we know that most carbonos, or many carbonos, most carbonos, have nesachim, they have flour, oil, and wine that go with it. So the flour that goes with, the flour offering, the meal offering that goes with the carbon omer.
Now
the omer is itself flour, but this is a separate. This is the flour that goes with the sheep. Shnei esronim, two esronim, soles, a fine flour, b'lulav v'shemen, which is mixed with oil. Ishen laHashem, a fire offering to Hashem, reach nichoach, which is a pleasing smell. V'niskoyayin, and its libation is wine, revi'isahin, a quarter of a hin of wine. V'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo sochlu, and bread, and roasted
kernels.
Is that what it just says, kernels, yeah, or roasted kernels?
Roasted kernels,
thank you. V'charmel and plump kernels. Lo sochlu yushan ad idad etzem ayom hazeh, until this day, till the main part of this day. Until you bring the carbon of your Hashem, it is a statute forever for all your generations, in all of your dwelling places. This is the Karban HaOmer, which, as we know, is brought on the second day of Pesach, which kicks off the Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, which will be discussed in the next paragraph. Here, so far, we're only talking about the Karban itself. The Karban HaOmer is described here. It will be described in greater detail later on. And the Karban HaOmer is called Omer because an Omer is a measurement. That's what an Omer is. An Omer is a measurement. It's a volume. It equals 43.2 eggs, the volume of an egg, 43.2, 43 and a fifth of eggs. And that is the amount of flour that needs to be brought for this carbon. Now, here the Torah doesn't tell you what is this, what kind of flour? It doesn't tell you what is the type. Is it wheat? Is it barley? It doesn't tell you how it should be brought. It just tells you to bring the carbon omer. As I said, later on, we'll have more detail about the omer. We will find out later that it is barley, which is unusual. Most of the time, a flour offering is wheat. But in this case, it is barley, as we'll see later on. And you should bring this omer. When you harvest from the land, you'll bring the omer, the first of your harvesting, to the kohen. You're not supposed to harvest prior to the omer. The omer should be the first harvest brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And it is brought to the Beis HaMikdash. The kohen waves the omer, which means, as I mentioned, he does what we do with a lulav and an esrog, moving it in all four directions and up and down. And he does this, as it says in Pasuk Gedalah, verse 11, on the day after Shabbos. That's when he does it. Now that phrase, the day after Shabbos, will be repeated in the next paragraph, which we have not read yet, when it talks about Sfira Sa'omer. It will talk about beginning the count from the day after Shabbos. This phrase, the day after Shabbos, becomes a major discussion, because the day after Shabbos does not mean the day after Shabbos. It means the day after the first day of Pesach. As we know, the Yom Tov can also be called Shabbos. Not only is the seventh day of the week called Shabbos, but a Yom Tov is also called Shabbos or Shabbason. And this is referring to the first day of Pesach. And therefore, what it means is, on the second day of Pesach, you should bring the Karban HaOmer. And in the next paragraph, on the second day of Pesach is when you begin counting the Omer, which is what we do. We don't bring the Karban anymore until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. However, the Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, we do on the second day of Pesach, or more accurately, the second night of Pesach is when we begin counting the Omer. The second Seder is when the Omer is counted. The first day of the Omer is the second Seder. The carbon is brought on the second day of Pesach, on the day after the first day of Pesach, on the day after Yom Tov. That's what it means, the day after Shabbos. The Tzedukim, those who rejected Torah Shabbat Olpeh, they rejected the oral law and only dealt with the written law. The Tzedukim therefore read this verse to mean the day after Shabbos, literally. Because of that, the Tzedukim always wanted the Sfiras HaOmer and to begin on a Sunday. Now, it can begin on a Sunday, certainly in the days when the Rosh Chodesh was established based on witnesses, then it could really be any day of the week. Even today, when Pesach can only fall out on 4 days of the week, the rule is lo badu Pesach. Pesach, the first day of Pesach, cannot be on Beis, Dalid, and Vav. Cannot come out on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. Those days cannot be the first day of Pesach. And remember, the first night of Pesach is the previous night. In other words, Pesach cannot begin on a Sunday night, which is Monday. Cannot begin on a Tuesday night, which is Wednesday. Cannot begin on a Thursday night, which is Friday. Those days can never be, at least the way we have our set calendar, those days can never be the first night and day of Pesach. So Pesach, therefore, can only begin on a Shabbos, Friday night, on a Sunday, Saturday night, on a Tuesday, which is Monday night, and on a Thursday, which is Wednesday night. That's when you can have, those are the four theoretical possibilities of when Pesach can begin. And it happens, you know, over the course of 10 years, you'll have most, you know, you'll usually have all four combinations over the span of 15 years, you'll have all four possibilities. So even the way our calendar is set up, Pesach can begin on a Shabbos, on a Friday night. In fact, this year, Pesach begins on a Shabbos, on a Friday night, which means we will begin counting the Omer on Saturday night, which is Sunday, which means this type of year, the Tzedukim wouldn't argue. They'd be perfectly happy with this kind of year. But they want every year to turn out like this year. So that, we'll discuss that when we get to Sfiras HaOmer in the next paragraph. But that is a major, major issue, which we will discuss presently. Now, on the day of the Omer itself is a karban. Because the Torah speaks about waving tenufa, because it speaks about the waving of the Omer, as I said, really, I don't know what other term to use besides wave, but to move it in all directions the way we do the lulav and esrog, because it speaks about that, therefore, the second day of Pesach is known in Mishnaic terms. The second day of Pesach is known as the Yom HaNef, the day of waving. Because you see how the Torah uses the word tenufa, or a form of that, several times in this paragraph. It says in Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Pasuk Yud, verse 11, it says, Vehinif es haomer, and then it says, Yinifenu hakohen. And then it says in the next pasuk, "Vasisem biyom hanifchem es haomer." So the term is used three times here, and in the next paragraph it will be used again. So because the Torah liberally uses the word tenu for a form of it for the second day of Pesach, which means to wave, therefore in Mishnaic language, in the parlance of the Mishnah, the term for the second day of Pesach is called Yom Hanif. That's what it's called. The second day of Pesach. That phrase. It looks like what you do with a lulav and esrog.
Okay.
The Omer is flour. It's a bowl full of flour, and it's waved in all directions, up and down. Same way we do with a lulav and esrog. Yes.
Are these flour offerings the kernel of corn eaten?
So the karban haomer is burned. The karban haomer is burned. As we're going to discuss it. Not here. Later on, we'll get into more detail about the Karban HaOmer. And so is the Nesachim. They're also burned, as we'll see. The Nesachim, the flour that's brought along with other Karbanos, is burned. There are flour offerings that are eaten, but not these.
Did they ever eat kernels of grain?
Well, that's a little bit misleading. First of all, let's get our terminology straight. Corn does not mean the yellow stuff that you, with little things that, you know, maize is not corn in Old English. The term corn means grain. That's what the word corn literally means. It means grain. They didn't have corn on the cob in Egypt or in Israel in those days. That, as far as I understand, corn on the cob is indigenous to the United States or to North America, and it's been brought over to other countries, but that it was not in there in those days. And this is a confusion that people have because of English versions of the Bible, particularly in the dreams of Yosef, in Parashas Miketz, where it talks about he dreamed of seven corn. It's corn there means grain. It wasn't corn, it was wheat. That's what he dreamed about. It was wheat. So just to get clear the terminology, the most of the time flour offerings are brought from grain that has sat in the field and dried, as you're supposed to do with grain, and then you grind it into a flour and you bring it as flour. That's how you bring it. It's mixed with oil, and then depending on the type of meal offering, it is either burned or baked or cooked, or whatever, not cooked literally, but with different, or roast, fried, different things are done with it. It happens to be, as we'll learn later on, that because of the fact that the Karban HaOmer is recently harvested, it has to be harvested the night of the second day of Pesach, meaning the night before you bring the Karban HaOmer, that's when it is harvested, therefore it is not dried out. It is a very moist grain. A moist grain cannot be ground into a flour. That's a problem. So therefore, the Torah is going to tell us later on, you roast them till they're dry, and then you can grind them into a flour. But it's brought as a ground up flour. Yes?
If you were to grind that, it would be chametz.
Right.
It would not be chametz because it doesn't come in contact with liquid.
The water of the undried grain has moisture.
You dry it out beforehand.
Right. I'm saying if it were.
Oh, maybe. I don't think it would turn into. I don't know if it would ferment. And I don't know what would happen in that case. Okay. If you didn't, because you can't grind it. It would pulp. It wouldn't grind.
It would be a mush.
It would be a mush. Right. If it was not dried out.
Okay. Again, since it wasn't a flour, it can't become a hummus.
Right, that's right. That's what I think. I'm not an expert in this. But anyway, it doesn't matter because the Torah says you got to dry it out in order to make it into a flour. Okay. Yes?
It's just a technical. I think way back I used to see the spelling of the word with a K.
Yeah, it could be.
And I think it differentiated.
Yeah, could be. Could be the differentiator. But people do make that mistake. They picture corn on the cob in Egypt. No such thing. So, yes.
So, are you saying that that Omer that was born on the second night, was all of this was done to it?
The Omer was born on the second day.
So all of this was done.
They would harvest it. They would harvest it the night of the second day of Pesach. And as the second night of Pesach, they would harvest it. They would roast it, and then they would bring it on, and they would grind it and bring it on the second day of Pesach.
Wow, they were busy. Night. I was busy. I mean, they had to do all of that.
Well, they didn't have a second Seder.
Oh,
Chol HaMoed.
Oh, so they were already finished.
Yeah.
With that part.
Yeah.
Boy.
Okay. Now. So as I said, the second day of Pesach is therefore called the Yom HaNef, the day of waving. On that day, as it says in Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, that on the day that you do this Karban HaOmer, you would also bring a sheep that was brought as well. That's a regular Ola burnt offering of a sheep. Typically, when you bring an Ola offering of a sheep, it's Mincha, the meal offering that goes with it. This meal offering that's mentioned in Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, is not the Omer. It is the regular meal offering that's brought along with a Karban Ola. However, it has a slight difference in that normally one Isaron of flour is brought with a sheep. In this case, it is doubled to two Esronim, two measures of flour. This is wheat flour, is brought along with the sheep of the Karban HaOmer. This is a doubled amount of a meal offering that's brought with it, special for the Karban HaOmer. Along with it comes oil, and along with that comes wine, which is the normal amount of wine that's brought with a sheep. But then we have in Pasuk Yudal, verse 14, the special law of Chadash and Yashan. Then it says that until this day, which means until the Karban HaOmer is brought, we are not allowed to eat lechem, kali, and karmel. Lechem is bread, of course. Kali is roasted grain. And karmel is, as they translated, as plump grain. It means new grain cannot be eaten until the Karban HaOmer is brought. Now, what this means is any grain, any of the five grains, wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye, any of the five grains that grow this year, during the course of the year, cannot be eaten until the Karban HaOmer is brought. That grain is called Chadash, new grain, which means here we are in, we're about to start Shavat, we're headed towards the end of Teves right now. Any grain that has been harvested from this year's crop cannot be eaten until the Karban HaOmer is brought on the second day of Pesach. Until that time, we can only eat grains that grew last year, which is called Yashan, old. Yashan is old, Chadash is new. Chadash is Aser, one is not allowed to eat Chadash, new grain, until the Karban HaOmer is brought. And until then, one can only eat Yashan. What defines whether a grain grew last year or this year? If the grain took root prior to the offering of the Omer last year, which means last year on the second day of Pesach, whatever grain had already taken root, whatever was planted prior to Pesach and had already taken root prior to the offering of the Omer on the second day of Pesach last year, that is considered to be old grain. That's Yashan. Anything which took root after the offering of the Omer last year, that is considered to be Chadash, that's new grain, that is prohibited until the Karban HaOmer is brought this year. So the Karban HaOmer permits any grain that took root since the last Karban HaOmer was brought. Yes?
How do you know if grain took root?
Those who are farmers know when they take root. Typically, it takes 3 days from the time of the planting until it takes root. That's typically the case.
Absolutely.
Right, but I don't know, you know, again, I'm not an expert, I'm not a farmer, so I don't know, but that's the general idea. Yeah.
I think, I mean, if somebody's really interested, I think Star K keeps on
talking. Okay, hold on, whoa, you're jumping the gun, way ahead, hold on, we'll get to that in a minute. Now, that's the rule of Chadash and of Yashan. Now, the Chadash that is prohibited is, as I said, has to do with when it took root. Now, you understand that when grain is grown, so if it takes root, let's say it takes root a few days after the Omer was brought, well, then it cannot be consumed until the next Karban Omer is brought. But grain that takes root takes a while from the time it takes root until it reaches the consumer, which means that even in an agricultural society where they did not have processed foods, where people bought flour or even bought grain and ground it themselves into flour, even then it took a while because, for let's say you had grain that was grown right after Pesach. Well, that grain is chadash, that's new grain. It cannot be consumed until the next Karban Omer. Well, it has to grow, takes a little while. Then it has to be harvested. Then it has to dry out because you can't grind it until it's dried out. So it took several months from the time it was planted until the time it was actually able to be made into bread. It could be that grain that was grown right after Pesach would not really be typically usable as bread until the end of the summer, until after it already dried out, and then it was ground into a flour, and then it could be eaten as a bread. So that's what we're talking about. That cannot be eaten until the next Karban HaOmer is brought. All the flour that is available immediately after Pesach for the next few months is all yashan. It's all from the previous year. There isn't enough time yet for the new crop to be ready to be eaten at that point, unless you want to eat it as a caramel, which is plump kernels, just taking a kernel and popping it into your mouth raw. That's possible. Or a roasted kernel, kali. That could be eaten right away. You could take it as soon as it grows, take it, roast it, and eat it. That was considered to be a snack, a sweet treat, was roasted kernels. When you take kernels and you roast them, there's a sugar that comes out, and they turn sweet. It was a candy for children. Roasted kernels.
Or the popcorn.
Well, it wasn't popcorn.
In it,
right. So chadash becomes an issue, meaning the new grain only becomes an issue later on in the year, not immediately after Pesach, because there's nothing available yet immediately after Pesach that is new. It first has to grow and then typically get dried out and then ground into a flour. Yes?
So therefore, all matzah is yosher.
So not necessarily.
For Pesach.
Depends what grain is used to make the matzah. If the grain was grown this year, then it would be chadash. It would be new grain.
They can use new grain for matzah.
Are you asking me? Is it halachically permissible? Or are you telling me? Ask me. Is it physically possible?
Halachically.
No, we're going to get to that in a minute.
Oh.
But you made a statement that it's all from old grain. Not necessarily. It could be from new grain.
Well, if it's for Pesach.
In which case it would be prohibited.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right. So we're going to get there.
I'm sure I understood
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Now, so that's the rule in the Torah. The Torah tells us that this applies until this day, meaning the Yom HaNef, till the second day of Pesach, and it says until the carbon is brought. Now, that's two statements. Is it until the second day of Pesach? Or is it until the Omer is brought? That is really contradictory. Even though the Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, at what point does the grain become permitted? Does it become permitted as soon as the second day of Pesach begins? Or does it become permitted as soon as the carbon is offered? And what about today when there is no carbon? When does the grain become permitted? So this is a matter of debate whether everybody agrees that if a Karban HaOmer is able to be brought, you cannot eat from the new grain until the Karban HaOmer is brought. When there is no Beis HaMikdash, like today, and we cannot offer a Karban HaOmer, then there is a debate when the grain becomes permissible. And we rule that the question is what the Torah means, but it doesn't really make a difference because no matter what the Torah meant, the rabbis say you cannot eat from the new grain until the second day of Pesach is over. So the new grain only becomes permissible with the evening of the third night of Pesach. That's in Israel. Outside of Israel, of course, we always add an extra day because we have the calendar issue. So for us, it would be the fourth night of Pesach when the new grain would become permissible. So new grain is not permissible at the second Seder, which is the second night of Pesach. It's not even permissible on the third day of Pesach. It would be after the third day of Pesach that the new grain becomes permissible. The fourth night of Pesach is when the new grain becomes permissible. The Torah tells us in that same pasuk in verse 14, Pasuk Yudalid, it says, this law applies l'doroseichem for all generations, b'chol moshvoseichem in all of your dwelling places. Question is, does this rule apply outside of the land of Israel? And we rule that it does apply outside the land of Israel. But then there is a question of, does it apply to grain that is grown by non-Jews or not? And so we have various halachic debates whether and how far-reaching is this law. It certainly applies to Jewish-owned grain grown in Israel. That is without question. And therefore, in the state of Israel, in the land of Israel today, there is no question that the law of Chadash and Yashan is in full force. And therefore, one is not allowed to eat from the new grain until the fourth night of Pesach. That would be the rule today. Question is, does it apply in the United States or anywhere else outside of Israel? Because of these halachic questions of whether it applies outside of Israel or not, whether it applies to grain grown by non-Jews or not, we have this debate. The mainstream opinion is that it does apply in all places, outside of Israel, just like inside of Israel, and to virtually all grain. It does apply to all of the breads and grain products that we eat outside of Israel, that the law would in fact apply. However, in Europe, where first of all there was rampant poverty, second of all the food that was available was limited, and as a result, it became extremely difficult to procure enough grain products that were made from Yashan grain, from old grain, meaning from the previous year's crop. And therefore, the rabbis in Eastern Europe relied on the minority opinion that stated that grain grown outside of Israel, grain grown by non-Jews, was not a problem and one could eat from the new grain and did not have to wait until this Yom HaNef, till this day of the Nef, of the waving on Pesach, and one could eat from the new grain. Therefore, in Europe, virtually everybody, except for the very, very few, virtually everybody consumed Chadash, consumed new grain, and did not pay attention to whether the crop was an old crop or a new crop. That needed to be relied on in Europe. When the Jewish community migrated from Europe to America with the destruction of European Jewry, then the question became what to do here in the United States. Because in the United States, there is a lot of grain, Baruch Hashem, food is plentiful, people are generally more wealthy, and there's less of an issue. And it is possible to only eat Yashan, to only eat old grain, meaning grain from the previous year, and not rely on the minority opinion that was relied upon in Europe for generations. The American Rabbanim, the rabbis in America of the previous couple of generations, ruled that we are not going to be more religious than our ancestors. And if in Europe it was good enough for the past 500 years, then in the United States the same will apply, and one is not required to be careful with this rule of Chadash and Yashan in the United States. It is perfectly acceptable still to rely on the minority opinion and consume new grain, even though the Torah, even though the mainstream opinion is one has to eat old grain, Yashan, but one can rely on the minority opinion as we did for generations in Europe and only ate new and eat the old grain. One does not need to eat the new grain. As time has gone on in America, more and more people have become aware of this law. It was virtually forgotten by anybody except the Torah scholars had forgotten about this law. But as people have become more educated in the United States, people have become more aware of this law. And therefore, more and more people have decided to be stringent and keep the mainstream opinion, which is to be careful between Chadash and Yashan. And as this has happened, it has caused the kashrus organizations themselves to also become more, to do more research about Chadash and Yashan. And depending on where you live, you can be in a community where virtually the entire community is careful with Chadash and Yashan. Many people in Baltimore, where I lived for many years, are careful with Chadash and Yashan. In the large communities in New York, in Lakewood, New Jersey, there are a lot of places that are very makbe, they're very careful with this law of Chadash and Yashan. Chadash and Yashan is not as easy to be careful with as is, for example, Chalav Yisrael. Chalav Yisrael, then you simply look on the product to see if it says, the dairy product, to see if it says Chalav Yisrael or not. If it says Chalav Yisrael, you know it's Chalav Yisrael. If it doesn't, you know it's not. So if you want to be careful in that area, you can simply look at the product. With Chadash and Yashan, it is not labeled in that manner, generally speaking. And the way the kashrus organizations tell you whether or not something is Chadash or Yashan is they tell you to look at the barcode, generally speaking, and on the barcode, using the various codes, you can figure out when the product was processed using what types of grains. And lists are printed, as was mentioned, the Star K has lists, as do other kashrus organizations. Depending on the community you're in, like, for example, in Baltimore, where I'm familiar with what goes on over there, the caterers and most of the eateries are careful with Chadash and Yashan because, as is generally the case, everybody gravitates to the most stringent opinion so that everybody will eat. Because if you're in the food business, you don't want anybody to say, I don't want to eat from your product. So therefore, the caterers and the eateries are almost all Yashan in the Baltimore area, and that is the case also in the larger communities, New York and in Lakewood, places like that. But again, one is not required to keep this law. It is recommended strongly that if one does choose to keep this law, that one does so b'li neder, without a binding vow, so that when one is in a situation where it is not possible to keep the law, which can happen frequently, that one would not be bound to it, one would be able to eat regular, or what I should say, new grain. This is all outside of Israel. Inside of Israel, one does not have this leniency. Everybody must keep the law of Chadash and Yashan in Israel because there is no debate. There is no minority opinion in the land of Israel. In Israel, one must keep the laws of Chadash and Yashan. So then how come you've never heard about it or rarely heard about it? So I'll describe that in a minute after I take a couple of quick questions. Yes?
I was told by the Rosh Rabbi, Dr. Star K, that spelt is always Yashan.
Could be. Yes.
Was that also observed by the Sephardi Jews?
I don't know what the Sephardi Jews did because they were in the Mediterranean area. I don't know what they did. It's a good question. So the interesting thing about this is that at least the wheat crop has two growing seasons in the United States. There is a winter wheat crop and there is a spring wheat crop. In the United States, two different times of the year where wheat can be grown. The winter wheat crop is always Yashan. The reason why the winter wheat crop is always Yashan is because it always takes root prior to Pesach, and it does not reach the shelves until after Pesach. There's no way in the processing for us, the way our food gets processed, there is a greater lag time from the farm to the consumer, because things have to get processed and ground and packaged, etc., until it gets to the shelves. Plus, there's such an abundance, thank God, in the United States of food that there is a lot in storage, and therefore things move slowly through the process. All winter wheat in the United States is yashan, because you will not see it before Pesach. Even if it is harvested in February, you're not going to see it until May. And therefore, it is not an issue with the winter wheat. But the spring wheat, that will begin hitting the shelves in August and September. And that's why yashan and chadash, if one chooses to take the stringent opinion, then yashan and chadash becomes an issue in the United States in the late summer, early fall. That's when it begins to become an issue. Until then, there are no issues because there is no new grain, there is no new wheat on the shelves. But once you get to that point, then that's when it starts to become an issue and people who are careful begin to look carefully at what they're eating. In Israel, there is only one wheat crop, and it is a winter wheat. That's why it is a moot point in Israel. Because even though in Israel, everybody must keep the laws of Chadash and Yashan, but by the time the wheat hits the shelves, it is always Yashan, it is always old grain. And therefore, it becomes a non-issue because it's winter wheat. There is no spring wheat in Israel, only winter wheat, and therefore it becomes a non-issue. So at the end of the day, even though Israel really should be the more stringent place when it comes to Chadash and Yashan, at the end of the day, there is no concern because there is no grain, no wheat crop anyway, that has this problem. But outside of Israel, then you have spring wheat, which could be a problem if you take the stringent opinion. I don't know anything about spelt in these and what was said, but it is possible that there is a grain, that there is only a winter crop. And if that's the case, then it will always be yashan, it won't be an issue, because by the time it hits the shelf, it will have already passed past Pesach. I'm not comfortable making pronouncements, certainly not on a recording, about what the Starkei may or may not say, and I'd rather we don't go down that road. Anybody can look it up themselves, but it is possible there is a grain that would always be a winter crop, in which case it's not going to be a problem.
What do you happen to know, does Israel export a lot of this
grain? I don't know.
For this purpose?
I don't know. No, not for this purpose. That's certainly not. But I don't know. I don't know what they do. I'm not familiar with that.
Comes from Israel.
Some matzah does.
Mendel's Rebbe Rabbi Weltscher makes his own. He makes his own production of Pesach Tzeke Shmorah matzah. But I also know that Mendel Tom, because you told me about the spring wheat, he keeps yashan particularly during Seder Yom Kippur.
Well, that could be. I mean, there's a lot of people who are more machmir during this Seder Yom Kippur, right? So that is the issue of chadash and of yashan. And this is the pasuk. This is the verse in the Torah that speaks about it right here. You have it here in pasuk Gedalah, verse 14, where you notice there's no term in the Torah here called chadash or yashan, new or old, but that is what is meant over here, that one cannot eat from the new crop until the Karban HaOmer is brought.
So, I'm so sorry to relate something. I'm just not clear about anything. So, when you say when the Karban is brought, so that barley offer is Yashan.
No, that barley offer is Chadash.
Oh, it's Chadash.
Yeah, that is new grain.
That's right before Pesach, or that's at Pesach. But yet, the yashan is available because there's no spring. I mean, all the winter crop is old.
No, not until no. You can when you approach Pesach, it's Nisan right now. It's not yet Pesach. You can only eat grain that took root before last Pesach.
Last Pesach.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the fact that
you can't eat the winter grain yet.
Okay, so that's the time that we can eat the new.
After the Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach.
Okay, and so that Omer is barley, but the matzah is made from wheat.
Matzah can be made from wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye.
barley?
It can be made from any of those things. The matzah that we typically eat is wheat, but it can be made from any of the five grains.
Have we ever had barley matzah?
I can't tell you the answer. Don't know the answer to that question.
I've never seen that.
Now, when they produce matzah, in theory, they could produce matzah from this year's crop. It can be produced from chadash, from new grain, in which case, one who would be stringent would not consume those matzahs on the first night of Pesach. If one did. Practically, I don't believe that they do that. I think practically, they only use winter wheat for matzah. And I think that's because the winter wheat is better for matzah. That the makeup of the grain itself, there's a little bit of a difference. Again, I'm not an expert in this, but my understanding is that the winter wheat and the spring wheat have a little bit of a different consistency, and the consistency of the winter wheat is better for making matzah. In which case, what therefore happens is that by default the matzahs are all yashan. It does not become an issue. That's my understanding of how it works. But in theory, one could make matzah out of new grain as well, out of spring wheat.
I think you mentioned someone the carbon only is chametz, isn't it? And a few times it's chametz carbon. Usually it's matzah they bring.
No. No, it is not. It is not chametz.
It's not chametz.
No. No. The shvuah is carbon, which we'll get to, not tonight, but we'll get to it coming up. That is a chametz carbon. Yeah.
And so may I ask why the omer is barley?
Torah says so. Okay. Okay. But it doesn't say it here. We're going to get to it later. Now, let's just go through what we have here with the carbon omer. The carbon omer therefore consists of barley, the amount of barley of an omer that is brand new barley, just harvested barley. It is the first of the harvest, and it is brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Along with that, there is a sheep, and also meal offering, and wine and oil. With this Karban HaOmer, then Chadash becomes permissible. Now the new grain can be consumed, because the Karban HaOmer was brought. However, the Karban HaOmer only permits new grain outside the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, the rule of Chadash and Yashan continues until Shavuos. So even though the Karban HaOmer is from new grain, it is the only new grain that is permissible in the Beis HaMikdash until Shavuos. For the next 50 days, even though in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, new grain is permissible, but in the Beis HaMikdash, it is still prohibited. So the permissibility of Chadash, of the new grain, has a different time frame outside the Beis HaMikdash and inside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Karban HaOmer becomes an exception that it is the only new grain permissible at that point in time for the next 50 days. And we'll see later how the new grain becomes permitted even in the Beis HaMikdash itself. It's a different trigger permits new grain in the Beis HaMikdash. What you'll ask me, well, what is grain used for over the next 50 days? Well, grain is used in a plentiful manner in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember that most karbanos have, along with them, flour, wine, and oil. That flour has to be from old grain, yashan. Plus, you have the lechem hapanim, the showbread. That has to be from old grain. There's a lot of things that menachos, that meal, M-E-A-L, that is used for, and all of that has to be from old grain. So even though in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, people have already started eating from the new crop, they do need to segregate the new crop from the old crop, because in the Beis HaMikdash, you still can only use the old crop, last year's crop, all the way until Shavuos. Pasuk Tesvav, verse 15. We're not going to complete this entire paragraph tonight, but at least let's begin it. Usfartem lachem mimacharas hashabbos. You will count for yourselves from the day after Shabbos. There you have it. There you have again the day after Shabbos, again referring to the day after the first day of Pesach. Miyom aviachem es omer atenufa, from the day that you bring the omer that is waved. There you have the word tenufa again. Sheva Shabbosos temimos tiyena, 7 complete weeks it will be. You need to count 7 complete weeks. Amimacharas haShabbos haShavis, until the day after the 7th week. So you count 49 days. And then the day after that, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, you will count 50 days. You don't actually count the 50th day, but you'll count up until the 50th day. And then, V'kraftem Mincha Chadasha LaHashem. Then you will bring a new mincha, a new flour offering, meal offering to Hashem. What does it mean, new? Means from the new crop. Now that you've gotten to Sukkot, you've counted the 50 days till Sukkot, now you can bring from the, excuse me, from Shavuos, thank you, now you can bring from the new crop. Mimo Shavuos Eichem Taviu, you'll bring from your dwelling places, which means it's got to be from Israel. Lechem Tenufa, there you got the word again, bread that is waved. Shtayim, 2 breads. Shnei Esronim, 2 Esronim. Soles Tiena, they will be fine flour. Chametz teafena, it will be baked as chametz. Normally, the Beis Hamikdash is Pesach all year round. That everything in the Beis Hamikdash is matzah, including the lechem apanim, the show bread. Even though in English they call it bread, it is not bread; it is matzah. But on Shavuos, you offer this shtei halechem, these 2 breads, and they are made into chametz. Bikurim laHashem, they are first fruits for Hashem, which means it is the first of the new grain that is brought in the Beis HaMikdash for Hashem. So as I said, even though the past 50 days in the rest of the country they've been eating from the new grain, the Beis HaMikdash, after the Karban HaOmer, no new grain is offered until you get here to Shavuos. Now this Shtei HaLechem, the 2 breads, have several distinctions about them that is different than other Karbanos, other meal offerings. Number one, it's Chametz. In this case, it is flour, it is wheat flour, not barley. There was barley the first time on it for the Karban HaOmer. This is a wheat offering, like most Karbanos. They're wheat offerings. And it is from the new grain. Now, in addition to the Shtei HaLechem, just as with the Omer, there was an animal brought with it as well, an Ola. That was a sheep. Here you have several korbanos brought along with it. Yurches 18, V'ikraftem al alechem, you shall bring along with the bread, Shivas kvasim timimim b'nei shana, 7 unblemished sheep that are a year old, Ufar ben bakar echad, and 1 bull, Ve'elim shenoyim, and 2 rams, Yu'ola la'Hashem, they will be an ola for Hashem, Umin chasam v'niskehem, and their meal offerings that go with them and their libations. Ishei reach nechoach laHashem, a fire offering that is a sweet smell or a pleasant smell for Hashem. Vaas yisem sirizim echad lechatos, you'll also make a goat for a sin offering. Ushnei chivasim b'nei shana, and 2 more sheep offerings that are a year old. Lezemach shlomim as a peace offering. So along with the 2 breads come all of these karbanos. Most of them are an ola, but there's also a chatas, and there's also 2 shlamims, 2 peace offerings, peace offerings that are brought as well. And you have again the word tenufa. Ve'inifa koino sam alechem abikurim tenufa laHashem. The coin will wave them. He waves the 2 sheep. The live sheep, he waves them. Same thing he did with the Karban HaOmer. Same thing we would do with Luv and Esrog. He picks up the sheep and he waves them in all directions, up and down. All directions then up and down. He waves them as a wave offering. He waves them on the bread as a wave for Hashem. Ashnei kvasim, the 2 sheep. Kodesh yu laHashem, they will be sanctified for Hashem. La kohen, for the Kohen. Now I know that we're in the middle of a paragraph. I'm going to pause here. I'm going to pause here because then we're going to talk about Shavuos. I'm going to pause here with that. So on Shavuos, this is the 50. You counted 49 days. Then on Shavuos, which is the 50th day, you bring the shtei halechem, the two breads, along with these other karbanos. Now, it should be noted that on Shavuos, like on all Yamim Tovim, there are also several karbanos musaf that are offered. Musaf offerings, which are also olos, which are totally burned. And we'll see when we get to Parashas Pinchas that many of them are the same as the ones mentioned here. But the Torah does not mean to say that it is the same thing, meaning these are karbanos that are brought with the shtei halechem, with the two breads. In addition to this, there is a whole slate of karbanos that are offered as the karban musaf. So on Shavuos day, how many is it going to be? 14, 15, 16, 18, 19, 21. There are more than 20 karbanos that are offered on Shavuos day. It's one day, and then more than 20 karbanos are offered. Yeah.
Every person?
No. These are karbanos tzibur. These are offered by the congregation.
Okay.
Yeah, like the karban musaf. Yeah.
Wealthy.
No. These are not. It's not the karban pesach that is offered by each individual or by individual. This is from the tzibur, from the Jewish people as a whole, offering all of these karbanos. As with all karbanos musaf, the karban musaf is offered by everybody. As we'll see when we get the parashas Pinchas.
I'm curious. Is there a special room to make this chametz karban?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Otherwise, you have a difficult time cleaning the basement.
Yeah.
You don't have stainless steel.
Yeah.
Does it say in here barley and wheat?
Yeah, not here. Later on.
Oh.
Okay. Well, here it says wheat. Solace usually means wheat.
Okay.
But barley, we'll see later on about that. Not here. We'll get to it later on. In a while. Not next week. We'll get it in a while. Now. because debating whether to get into this discussion now, I think we're going to have to wait for this next discussion because it's a little bit involved. But so we have the counting of the Omer. We know that we count days and we count weeks. If you'll notice that it says in Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, it says, "Usfartem lachem imacharas haShabbos." You shall count, and then it says, "You shall count 7 weeks." So, and then it says, "You count 50 days." We know that when we count the Omer, you mention the days and you mention the weeks, right? That is derived from the Torah itself, and it's a mitzvah lemimni yomi, mitzvah lemimni shvui. It's a mitzvah to count the days and a mitzvah to count the weeks. That is also derived from over here, as we count the entire 49 days, because it says. In Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, it says, Sheva Shabbosos Timimos Tiena, 7 complete weeks. That's why we begin to count in the evening. We don't want to count during the day because then we wouldn't be complete. We want to start from the night immediately when the calendar date changes. That's when we want to count the Omer. And therefore, we count in the evening as soon as possible once the calendar date changes to the second night of Pesach, the 16th of Nisan. We begin counting the Omer, and we continue to do so for the next 49 days, through 49 days until you get to the 50th day, which is Shavuos. next week, when we continue with Shavuos itself, we'll discuss how this machlokas, I shouldn't even call it a real machlokas, but this debate between the Talmidei Chacham, Torah sages, and the Tzedukim, where they wanted it to always be on Sunday. That means if they wanted the second day of Pesach to always be on Sunday, that means they wanted Shavuos to always be on Sunday. Because when you count 50 days, it's always going to end up on the same day of the week as when you started. So that leads to a major power struggle when it comes to Shavuos itself. Shavuos became the focal point of this issue between the Talmidei Chacham, Torah sages, and the Tzedukim. So please, God, next week we'll cover that.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.